Avalanche, Devils, Hurricane, Thieves, Bucks, Rangers, Bruins, Maple Leafs, it's a Bucks, the goal of many is that cup of Stanley.
Welcome, everyone, to your newest episode of Here in Puckburg, your place for the daring do bad and good puck tales. I am your host, Shaggy Von Doom, otherwise known as Kyle Sullivan, with your new episode of Here in Puckburg, and we have a brand new edition of Puck Tales.
Woohoo!
And the you-know-who at the other end of the woohoo is our good friend from the Locked On Avalanche Twitter spaces, otherwise known as the Capalanche fan. This is Lisa. How's it going, Lisa? How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
It's the off season. Still celebrating, carrying around a cup, celebrating every chance I get, buying every piece of championship swag. There's no such thing as an off season.
I feel like there was no off season.
Yeah, you go right into the draft and then you go into free agency and then the prolonged free agency. At time of this recording, this is recorded just like, I think a night after the last episode from last week. So I still don't know where Kadri's going. So who knows? And if you're watching the video, he's somewhere and he's living his best life.
I'm sure that he's gotten plenty of offers, and the fact he hasn't taken one is a good sign.
Yeah, he's always highly paid in my heart. So Lisa. We know it's in your username, like the your handles, your social handles. You're unapologetic in your Capalanche.
I am.
And we're going to get to why you're divided between the two and why it's that way, and where you live that has no real, like, stake in both. If you're just going off the gatekeeping mentality of hockey fans, like, if you're not here and you can't show me your license plate, like, you don't. So we're going to get to that aspect. But what about the game of hockey, out of all the sports in the world, stood out to you and when?
You know what? It's just the pace of hockey is so much different. I was late. I mean, I know you always talk to everybody and there's always kind of those three categories they fit in. I don't. I was older. I was like in my teens, and growing up in my house, there was a lot of basketball. There was a lot of baseball. Hockey was, as my dad always called it, the four sport. You watched it when there was nothing else on. So when I was in my teens, I actually had a boyfriend who liked hockey. And that's what we would do. We would watch hockey. To this day, I still think maybe I was used a little bit. Back then, he was a Flyers fan. So they were on a premium network, Prism.
We had,
his family did not. So come over to our house and watch hockey. I don't know. Maybe he kind of used me for that, but in any case, it all worked out great. He went away, but I kept watching hockey, and it just talked to me. Like, there was something about it. It spoke to me. So I started watching hockey. That was kind of my own thing. And finally, one day, my dad was kind of going, you know, you really like hockey. You're watching it on TV. It's just different in person. So he took me to see the Hershey Bears. That's when it really got started. That first game you see live just is magical. I mean, it was... I just fell in love, like right then and there. I was just hooked. So it all kind of began in Hershey. And at that time, well, I'm ashamed to admit this. I'm going to go public with this and say at that time, Hershey was affiliated with Philadelphia. And I might have started out as a Flyers fan.
Nothing entirely wrong with that.
There's not. In fact, I just had a post on Instagram from my cousin recently debating hockey jerseys and Capitals or Avalanche. And he mentioned maybe I should pull out my old Eric Lindros jersey.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not proud of that time of my life. I can just tell you I was young and naive and I didn't know any better.
We all had a phase. We all had a phase.
We did. But you know, when you think back on it, it's almost ironic that I was a Lindros fan.
Yeah.
And how that all played into the Avalanche and Peter Forsberg. So, well, a whole bunch of players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So ironically, I don't know. Maybe it does all kind of tie together there.
And ironically enough, Forsberg was like a Flyer for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he was. Yep. So, yep. Did it tie together? It did.
So, now tell me about Hershey. Everybody knows about Hershey. The Hershey Bears.
Hershey Bears. The old quote, I believe it's Gordie Howe, anybody who's anybody in hockey played in Hershey.
What makes Hershey so special?
Oh, they've got history. The history of the organization. I want to say this year is going to be their 90th season.
Wow.
So yeah, they've been around forever. They've won the most championships of any other team in the AHL. Now, again, they've been around for 90 years. You kind of expect that. You know, they've won a lot. They've had just some great players come up through the system. They used to play, and this is where they played when I started going, in the old Hershey Park Arena.
And I was just about to ask about the barn situation.
Oh, that arena, I miss it. I keep telling a friend we need to go to one of the hockey games there. A local college team plays there. And I actually want to get my son, I want to get Grant in there. Cause he's never experienced that. And there's just something about it. You were so close to the action. They used to sell standing room tickets. So what me and a couple of friends would do is we would go the night of the game and we would just get standing room tickets. We had a spot where we stood. I want to say it was like section 24. We were just permanent fixtures there. The people who sat there with season tickets, we were all like one big family.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. We went to a game during, I could talk about this a long time, during the 97 Calder Cup playoffs. And it was May, it's hot, and there was fog on the ice. So every, you know, 15 minutes or so, the players would all come off the bench. And they'd all skate around to clear the fog.
Wow.
And this was just the way the game went because the arena was just that old. You know, the air conditioning system wasn't great. You know, hindsight, I can only imagine how horrible the ice was.
Yeah.
At that point. But you felt really close to the game. Like you were, you were right there on the ice. After the game, there is this little stairwell that led down to ice level and you could go skating after the game. But what was always really fun about it was when you went down there, you were right outside the Bears locker room. So you'd go down, players would come out to see their wives. Like it, you know, it was just fun. We would just go down and, you know, we were young. We'd kind of be like, ah, there's so-and-so and just, it was so different. You had so much access, I felt like, to the players in the arena.
Yeah.
That it just made it different. And they moved. Now they're over at the Giants Center. I think they've been there for almost 20 years. But the old barn just was fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. But, like, hearing those stories, it kind of reminds me of like what we had in Birmingham back home where I used to live with our minor league team, the Birmingham Bulls. And I say minor league with a capital M and a capital Iner. Like there's Southern Professional Hockey League. Like they're, it's down there. But like I remember after games, like if you kind of linger around and you're talking to your friends, like the team would just start walking out like in the normal concourse area, like going home using the same parking lot you do. And you're like, hey, I literally just watched you. And like they're either they have come down from like the coast and they still have like that little bit of a suit mentality. Like they'll still wear their suits, and then you'll see the ones that come up from the just like this is their shot and their foot in the door to go up to the coast. So they just kind of come out in warm ups, and you're like, okay, but they're always like they smell like a shower, and you're like, okay, that's a player. I know who that is. And that's like how you got to learn your team is like, okay, I can read your name off the program. I can hear your name when you score, but you're the guy that does this, or like you're always like you start picking up like post game characteristics that you remember, and then you kind of build a relationship off that. So I can completely understand that. And I have always wanted to go to one of those like kind of older school barns where it's got that kind of history and that swagger to it. And I could just imagine sitting in a game like watching them chase fog off the ice. That's got to be sick.
It's funny because, and I still feel this way, like sitting here thinking about it. And I don't think people who don't follow hockey don't understand this. Yeah. Like I can literally sit here and smell that arena.
Yeah.
Like we would walk in and we'd be like, oh, smells like home. Like the smell of the ice just, the new arena, don't get me wrong, it's beautiful. It is literally a mini NHL arena, but it's just, it's missing that history. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points there.
Hey, Wilt is still.
Yeah. And ironically enough, the record that he broke was set by an old co-worker's father-in-law.
Well.
Interesting tidbit of information.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty, and I want to, was that Wilt game against the Knicks? It probably was. I can't remember. I think it might have been.
But I can't remember either. I want to say it was.
Because I think that's why it always stings whenever they show that, because it's always like versus my Knicks. But anyway. And like when you're talking about the smell, like when I was telling that story about like the guys coming out, like that's one of the things I remember about like being back at the Pelham Civic Complex is that smell. Like when you're talking about that, I can smell the complex right now.
There's something, I mean, I think that about every arena you walk into. There's, but again, the smell of the ice.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something special about Hershey that maybe it's just the memories. I'm not sure. I mean, it certainly wasn't comfortable by any means, but it was fun.
So did you jump in with Hershey? Like, I know you were mentioning like standing room. What did you eventually fall in love with the team so much that you were season ticket holder? Like, how did that come about? Like, where did it blossom from there? Like, I know we're at standing room level, like interest with the Hershey Bears. How did we grow from Hershey?
Well, Hershey, like I said, Hershey kind of started it. Early on, they were the first few years I was following them. They were with Philadelphia. So it was kind of easy to follow because it was just the back and forth between Hershey and Philly. And of course, it was Philadelphia. So I'm in the market. I had plenty of access to Philadelphia. And then the Avalanche came along in that 96-97 season. And that team was fantastic because they won the Calder Cup. So it was kind of hard not to like the new team. Philly had actually really worn out its welcome. A lot of fans just had issues with players they were assigning and maybe not signing. So it was a welcome change. And a winner came in. And again, everybody likes a winner. So it was a fun season. I mean, They had a great season. I would say that year, like, we really started to zone in and get to know some of the players. We would go out afterwards and hang out at Shakey's. The bar in Hershey was Shakey's. And it was owned by a former Bears goaltender. So that was the place to go. All the players kind of hung out there. So we would go, we would hang out at Shakey's, have a good time. Sometimes have a little too much to drink. But it was all good. And I think at that point, the team was good. We were out. So again, you kind of got to know the players a little bit.
Yeah.
And once you do that, it does. Like, it just, I think it sucks you in because now you know them. Everybody was absolutely fantastic. Again, it was like there was nobody on that team that you could be like, oh, I don't like them. They just had character. They went out. They played hard every night. So that kind of started with the Avalanche because you would see the guys go up. You would see the guys come back down. It was different back then because you had to hope that, you know, they were nationally televised. That's how you got to watch.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you did your best to kind of follow. But we got to the end of the season and Colorado was in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you've heard me mention this name many, many times, but my boy, my favorite Bear, Eric Messier, got called up. And so then we really were following. It was me. There were four of us and we were following every game. And the joke became that somehow Mess always gets his face on TV. And for the record, we still to this day call Mark Messier the other Messier. The other Messier.
That's bold, but.
It is. That's.
When you have that experience, I mean.
It is. So he was up, one night we were watching them when they played Detroit and we had a drinking game. That every time they showed him, we had to drink.
Oh, nice.
It was good. We might have had a little too much that night. Anyhow, they ended up losing that year to Detroit. Messier came back down, was a huge, huge addition. I mean, he definitely was instrumental in them winning the Calder Cup that year. But while he was up with Colorado, and I have this to this day, he made the cover of Sports Illustrated. I cannot tell you who the Red Wing is on that cover. But I have it. It's signed. It's autographed specifically to me. It's my, my prized possession. And, from there it was history. From there it was just Avalanche. I have to admit, in 96, I was rooting for the Panthers, so I kind of did a complete change in about a year. Mm. No. I admit it. I mean, I own it.
But hold on. Whoa. Why? What appealed to you about the Panthers in that year? Because that, honestly, that logo was trash. I'm so glad they did that redesign. Like, it looks so much better. That logo was just pure trash. What about that team made you say, you know what? Wah, Forsberg, Sakic, they could stick it in their ear. Give me Van Beesbrook.
Honestly, Rob Niedermeyer.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's it. That's the only answer I have is Rob Niedermeyer. If he hadn't been on that team, I might have gone with the Avalanche.
I cannot besmirch the name of Niedermeyer's, or I have to take off the jersey I'm wearing. So it's perfectly fine. That's understandable. I do not want to walk past somebody admitting that, and I want to understand. I want to get into your shoes in that moment, like, because for me, like, during that time in that cup, like, it was one of those, like, how could you not like the Avalanche? Like, look at how this team's comprised. So if I hear of someone on the other side, I'm just like curious. How does that happen?
And wasn't that like the rat throwing time too?
Yes.
Throwing the rats? I mean, that makes me question my choice more than anything, is that I was rooting for a fan base that was...
They did the rat...
throwing rats.
Didn't they start the rat trick in... Was it the conference finals?
I can't remember.
It became a thing. I think it was a playoff thing that just carried...
It was. People. I'm certain of that.
Almost like Gloria or whatever. Whatever that was. And, like, they carried it through the playoffs, and that was kind of like the buzz topic because I remember them asking Wah about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and what didn't he say something about he wasn't going to let any more pucks in because he didn't want any more rats thrown on the ice?
Yeah, it became like a real issue to him. So yeah. They could turn this real quick.
It's a good thing, but the only question I have now is if I do my Stanley Cup tattoo, is if I include that 96 team.
They better make that twice as dark.
See? Because I wasn't a fan then, so.
No, I
to contemplate.
Give me the info of your tattoo artist. I'll make it twice as dark and be like, this was earned. I was on the opposite side and I can never forget this year.
Well, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was really that year. So it would have been that 96-97 season, that it just really developed. And after that, you know, it was hard. I mean, I was online daily. I hated the fact that it was an out of market team. So I didn't get to watch them. The ironic thing is it was about that same time that I also started following the Capitals.
Really?
Which it's weird. But it was different. I mean, I wouldn't say I was as big of a Capitals fan then, but again, living in this area, it's a Philly market. So everything was Philadelphia, and I was kind of leaning towards the Avalanche. I was tired of hearing about the Flyers. So we actually at that point started to get a network out of DC. HTS at the time is what they were. And they carried the Capitals. So me and a friend one day were just flipping through the channels and we came across some program that they did, like one of those half hour, you know, inside the Capitals type thing. And we were like, this is pretty cool. And, you know, we were like, oh, these players seem pretty cool. So I guess we had Ole Kolzig back then. And
I was about to say that had to be one of the guys, like Ole Kolzig would be.
Ole, I just saw an interview tonight with Ole.
Really?
During the Caps development camp, they had that game on. They had the scrimmage on. And, yeah, I actually sent something to a friend. I was like, it's Ole. It's Ole. We loved Ole. But it was hard not to love Ole. And he's probably one of those guys that just sort of sucked us in.
Yeah.
So at that point, we started watching a little bit of the Capitals. That was back in like the days when they had blue. I remember my first Capitals sweatshirt is this blue sweatshirt. Followed them a little bit, definitely was more of the Avs. Just, again, so much of that was that Hershey connection because you're watching the guys come up and down and it was fun to see them go up and see how they did. It seemed like there was a lot of guys that were going up. Bob Hartley eventually went up. He was the coach in Hershey. Then they won the cup again. I was rooting for him that time. But yeah, at that point, center ice was available. So I was able to catch all the games, see everything through, which was great. There's something about following a team and watching every game when they win.
It makes it really special if you can like, you can watch. And you can like fall in love with like the season long narrative. It makes it a lot more special.
It does. It does. And I mean, I still remember watching Game 7. I can remember when it went to Game 6, just being really irritated that there was going to be a Game 7. being really nervous. Really nervous.
You know that, and that game kind of ticked down like the 22 cup. Like there was a lot of like you knew, but you didn't want to know, and you weren't sure, but there was so much on the line, and you didn't want to start accepting that fact. Like this guy's getting a cup. This guy's getting a cup. Like they're finally doing it, and it's just. It really had that same takedown effect for like that last minute and 30 where you're like really hesitant and every breath is super heavy.
And that first goal that New Jersey got in that game was while Eric Messier was sitting in the penalty box.
Oh, the better Messier.
Mm. Yeah. Sitting in the penalty box. No, that was, and but it was also a game 7. So.
Yeah.
You had that extra, where it was not comfortable until that final buzzer. Ray Bourque lifting the cup. You know, the ironic thing about that is after the game ended, they won. Raymond Bourque has lifted the Stanley Cup. And if you remember, his kids came onto the ice, his two boys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Both of those boys went on to play in Hershey. Chris and Ryan. Ryan was there for a very short time. Chris actually had two stints. And he was a captain for a little while. Just very beloved in Hershey. In fact, Ray would come to a lot of the games. You would see him like in the owner's box. But it's just the irony that I can remember them as these little kids on the ice crying. Wow. Dad won the Stanley Cup. And again, Hershey connection. Here they are. You know, they were playing in Hershey. Chris actually just, he's the older one. He just retired over the summer.
And after, you know, the dust is cleared from the 01 Cup, where did you fall with your Capitals and Avalanche? Like, who started winning the race in your fandom if you were... kind of tight. Was it still close to who's affiliated with Hershey? Because I know that changed up as well.
It was. It was actually at that point, as crazy as it sounds, easier to keep up with the Avs because center ice allowed us to watch the Avs.
Yeah.
And at the time, at that point, the cable system we had took off the Capitals network. I actually replaced it with the Penguins. So it actually became harder because a lot of the Capitals games would be blacked out. So it actually became easier to follow the Avalanche there for a little while. But yeah, after, I don't remember what year it was that there was the shift. The Avs kind of crept out. There was a season or two where Hershey was affiliated with both Colorado and Tampa.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, that was just a season or two. And then the Capitals came in. So that's where, that closeness with the Capitals, started to seep in, so started to pay a little more attention to the Capitals. More and more, you were getting into that Ovechkin era.
I was just about to ask how
and
what year did the, do you know the affiliation with Washington? Did that start and was that kind of hand in hand with the Ovechkin era?
I want to say that it was. It's actually funny because I didn't like Ovechkin for a while. I was that Caps fan that, sure, he was great during the regular season, but I always felt like he kind of died off in the playoffs. Like there was a lot of talk, but I didn't feel like he played up to that talk in the playoffs. It felt like he was kind of invisible. But yeah, there was that up and down. So I've always kind of been that person that, for the most part, I always say that I like the little guy.
Yeah.
I like the Eric Messiers. My favorite Capital was Brooks Like. He was a Hershey guy, got called up. And, you know, we're talking, he's a bottom six player.
Yeah.
But he did the job and just always worked hard and had a lot of heart. I always said he should wear the C instead of Ovechkin. Like I said, I was actually pretty hard on Ovechkin right up until they won that cup.
Wow.
But I always liked the little guy. Like when I think of the guys in Washington, I think of the Brooks Like, Carl Alsner, who's one of my favorites, Jay Beagle.
Oh, Jay Beagle. I love Jay Beagle, and I love, like, Jay Beagle. Every time when you see him take a move, like in free agency, you're just like, this could be the spot right here. And it just.
Didn't he just sign with Dallas?
I don't know. I know he was somewhere between Vancouver and Arizona. I don't know where he's gone
now. I'm certain I saw he just signed. I can't. For some reason, Dallas sticks out, but I can't.
I love watching Jay Beagle play. He is.
I love Jay Beagle. I love Jay Beagle. The Bears won the cup in 2008. They won. And I was up at the bar. I was at Shakey's, and they had given out that night the rings, the Calder Cup rings. And I'm at the bar. I go to get a drink, and Jay Beagle is like right next to me, and I'm just like, dude, can I see your ring? You know, like, and just super nice. You know, here you go, yeah. You know, nicest guy. That's what I always think of when I think of Jay Beagle. But guys like him, lots of goalies came through. I get confused which goalie was Colorado and which goalie was Washington.
You're probably right.
There's been so many.
Yeah, it never stops with the sending us your has-beens.
Well, hey, now the Capitals are taking, you know.
Yeah, enjoy that for what it's worth.
The consensus around Washington is everybody's pretty happy to see Darcy.
I bet.
Consistency.
You know why? You didn't have a goalie until he got there.
I know. We had 2 days of empty nets. I was having a goalie crisis. I'm, you know, texting my Capitals friend going, oh my God, what are we going to do? We don't have a goalie.
You could have brought in anybody. They would have been absolutely ecstatic.
I could have done great. I mean, they could have just tossed me in goal.
There's literally no one back there, but.
Well, no, you know what, though?
It's interesting to see, like, the tide turn in that aspect. I chuckled when those rumors about Darcy going to Washington. I was like, oh, so this is how it feels.
Hey, I mean, I kept saying that if, you know, the Avs didn't want Darcy, that the Caps were in need of a goalie.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't really expect it to happen that way. I certainly didn't expect that they would trade one goalie and let the other one walk and have zero goalies. I don't know what they would have done if Kemper hadn't worked out.
I think it was Grubauer that he got his ring.
Yeah.
Did he? And a Avalanche sweater.
Yeah.
It was a couple games into the season, and it really drove home. Like, this is post Varlamov. And I'm like,
who was Hershey there.
I was like, I am so sick of these Capitals coming in here, and now they're bringing their absolute disgusting hardware. I was like, I'm so sick of this pipeline. It just drives me off the wall. So let's.
Well, Berkey brought his too.
And he took it to Seattle with his other one.
Just like Grubauer.
Yeah, that's going to work out just fine. Like old Donskoy.
I want to see the Capitals play back in March, and they played Seattle when we went to that game. And the first goal that Seattle scored was Donskoy.
Yeah.
And I laughed. I looked at my son. My son, you know, I was like, hey, I'm like, Donskoy scored. I'm like, he's the only Kraken that's allowed to score. So yeah. we were excited that he scored. The Capitals won the game easily, so it was all good.
Donskoy, like, I don't think he scored until 26 or 27 games into that season.
It took a while.
I was like, I felt bad because, like, Donskoy, honestly, there's no, like, animosity. He had no control over that situation. So I get it. Like, business is business. You had to go, but, like, I was just like, come on, bud. Like, you could do it, but.
No, you did. You just wanted him to score.
Yeah.
You felt bad for him. I didn't feel bad for Grubauer. I'll say that. I was disappointed that night we went. Grubauer was not playing. I kind of would have liked to have seen him, but.
What
do we get?
Talk to me about how closely did you monitor the Avs during the Caps run? Was it just full steam ahead, Caps are going to the Cup, like, finally all of this is paying off? Did you even pay attention to what's going on in Colorado?
I did. I mean, there were points where, like, I wasn't following, but that was almost going both ways with both teams. And that was just life happening.
Yeah.
Just some stuff going on in life that sort of distracted me. And then after my son was born, I finally felt like I started to have a little more time. At that point, I was probably following the Caps a little more close just because they were closer. And when I tried to watch the Avalanche, I'm not going to lie, like, I'd get through the first period and then fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's understandable.
It is. You know, my son was just young. And then I don't even remember what year it was. I finally was like, kid, like, you got to go to a hockey game. And don't get me wrong, I have pictures of him as a baby where I literally have him staring at a computer screen and a picture of the Stanley Cup. I have a picture of him watching his first hockey game. He was a few months old and he was watching the Capitals and the Penguins. I did instill in him early that we don't like the Penguins, that they're bad, they're evil. But I took him to Hershey. So I wasn't sure what to expect. He was young. I wasn't sure if he would sit. So I took him to a preseason game.
Smart.
And he was a little unsure of it. When we got there, when we left, I had a hockey fan.
Hey.
And it became easier to get back to it again because now he wanted to watch it and he wanted to do that with me. So it was that connection that we had. And at that point, I will say, like, I was very clear that we are Avalanche fans, we are Capitals fans. And there was never, you know, I remember, I mean, I know, like, the Avalanche were just horrible. And, you know, I always followed them. Like, I always knew what was going on. I might not have seen the games, but I knew what was going on. And, you know, I can remember, like, wow, they are just awful. You know, yeah. And in my head, I'm thinking, what happened to the Avalanche that I followed? Like, where did they go? So admittedly, it's easier to lose a team when they're not doing well. I mean, I don't know. I can't say the Caps were doing great at that point either. I mean, they had Ovechkin. They were getting a little bit better. But, you know, it was easier to follow them. They were on all the time. At that point, I had a network that we had a streaming service that did carry the Capitals. So I was kind of back to watching them. Again, I try to watch the Avalanche, but boy, I just fell asleep. I admit those games are late.
And especially with everything being founded around Hershey and, like, that pipeline between Hershey and Washington, like, it's like, you're kind of, that's where you first fell in love with the game. Like, I mean, it's understandable. I'm not trying to grill you, like, on you, your Avalanche side. 'Cause honestly, it was a rough ride. And especially if you have, like, the Hershey Bear Capital connection, like, enjoy that. Like, you get to see, like, you had your Jay Beagle story. Like, I used to watch Capitals games just for Nick Dowd, because, you know,
I love Nick Dowd, though. He's great. Judge Judy.
Yeah.
He's Judge Judy.
Even back when he started out, I think it was like the Kings. He had a little time with the Kings, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, you could do this, man. And then he seems to be settling into a role.
He has. He really has. Him, Garnet Hathaway. They had Carl Hagelin on that line
They did? Yep.
Who is currently, I guess we're waiting to August to see actually if he can even play again. Took a stick to the eye in practice. They like guys who get sticked in the eye.
Yeah. Between him and Darcy, you have a working set of eyes.
Hi. Well, I mean, Darcy did come back. I mean, he did come
back. That's still debatable.
We're going to find out. And, again, he's somebody to stand in front of the net. And you can make the argument that he is probably a better goalie to have in there. It's a better situation than what the Capitals had. I always want to say we, but there's two we's here, so.
Yeah. And I understand, if you are saying we to a team, I understand why you are the Capalanche and not the Avitals.
Capalanche just has a better ring to it.
Avital sounds like a body part.
Yeah, see? I can't have
But I get that, and I get, what do you see with the Capitals going forward other than bringing back the Screaming Eagle reverse retro? You saw, the goalies falling apart in the playoffs, and what do you expect for Washington going forward? Because Colorado's honestly an easy and getting to be over-talked about thing. We've been wanting this for so much, but it's the easy thing to talk about. I'm interested to see about Washington. What do they do? Because it's other than the Ovi Gretzky watch, there's not a lot going on narratively with the Capitals. So what do you look for?
There's not. Honestly, I have been of the opinion for the last couple of years, it's not going to happen as long as Ovi's there. But rebuild. They're going to be in the down. They were tied last year as the second oldest team in the league. It shows, especially when you get to the playoffs, they're just getting beat by faster, younger players.
Yeah.
That's actually my biggest concern, I think, with Kemper coming in, is you're giving them a 5-year deal already at 32.
And he's an old 32.
I mean, 32. I would have at least kept Samsonov or Vanecek. I feel like that, I'm not sure what they were thinking. I say this all the time, and I complain about it. I whine about it. I have a friend she's a huge Caps fan, that I don't see a plan. That's my problem with Washington, is I don't know that they actually have a plan. It's not like Colorado. I trust Joe. I trust Chris now, I guess. I have a certain trust factor. I feel like Washington sometimes is kind of all over the place. I laugh when I hear people, say oh, there's the Avalanche. Look, they blew a lead again.
Yeah.
It's nothing. That's the Capitals specialty. They're up 3-0 and you wonder how they're going to blow that. And half the time they do. I just think that they're up against the cap. They've got a lot of older players. They have a lot of contracts that were long-term for guys who are now getting older. I love TJ Oshie, but he's one of them. You're just stuck up against the cap, and they're old. I feel like they keep bringing in older people as opposed to bringing in some youth.
It sounds like from afar, other than Nick Dowd, I have no heart for the Capitals. They're a hockey team I follow. It's cool. But I have no passion with them. But the thing that stands out to me the most, and it's you know, like the, I can't remember who it was, but you know how like Brad Marchand and somebody tried to be like the last player off the ice. And like they kept like having that competition, like acting like they're about to leave, but not. I honestly feel like as much as this hatred is between the two, Pittsburgh and Washington are going to be exactly where they are as long as Ovi and Sid are still doing exactly what they do. And until one of those two players decide I'm hanging it up, those franchises will not move on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because you see Pittsburgh adding old contracts and older players and having a mess at the goalie position. And, like, it's the two fan bases can't stand each other. The two teams can't stand each other. But the two teams are constructed the exact same way.
They are. That's the irony of it. That is the irony of it. It's, like I said, I feel like the Capitals are hitting a point where it's going to be time for a rebuild. I know a couple of other fans who are in agreement with that. You're never going to get it. I mean, they're telling you, we still have the core. We still have Ovechkin. I don't know what else your core is currently because we don't know if Backstrom's coming back. If he does, it's going to be late in the year. I know everybody hates him. I love him. Tom Wilson's going to be out for at least the first 2 months. You know, there's two of your key players right there.
Yep.
That aren't going to be there. It's going to be tough to start the season. There's going to be guys coming up from Hershey. I don't see any way around it. Guys without a whole lot of NHL experience. It's going to be tough. I'm expecting the beginning of the season to be tough. And, you know, I'm curious to see even if Backstrom can come back. I'd love him to come back, but it's carrying like a huge cap. I think we're looking at like $9 million against the cap and we're stuck. I mean, what are you going to do?
Oh, Washington.
And we're stuck. We don't know. Hagelin, his cap hit can't be bad, but again, you're waiting till August. He's got an appointment with the eye doctor in August with, you know, the surgeon to see if he can play again. And I think they do a replacement for him though. They've got Axel Janssen Fialbi, who's from Hershey, who filled in well for him after the injury, I thought. In fact, I was kind of annoyed they didn't play him a lot. And I was just baffled by that. They brought Johansson in.
That was about to be my next question, like when it comes to like going back to Hershey games, like do you have that feel at Hershey games where everybody knows like this is where I'm going to be for a while because nothing is shifting or moving or changing. Like I'm going to be a Bear until Ovechkin says otherwise, because then everybody could get promoted from within and then line two comes one and then you could kind of shift and cycle, but I'm going to be a Bear until I get traded.
Maybe, I think last year, because they had so many injuries to start the season, you actually had a lot of the guys going up, which was fantastic. And ironically, that was early on in the season. They did really well. And I think it was because you had either those guys are ready, they were hungry for it, they wanted to prove themselves, and they were young. They were fast. You know, they had the speed that the guys they were playing for probably didn't. But yeah, they did have a few, unrestricted free agents that left, that will definitely make an impact. Their captain, Matt Molson, retired. He had back surgery halfway through the year. He's, I want to say 36. So he hung it up, which is definitely a loss, but I don't know. I see it being a rough year for the Capitals and the Bears.
Well, we're running towards the end, but I want to thank you most of all for like, we have not had a lot of Washington Capitals talk. So I would like to thank you for the Washington Capitals talk and it's some good minor league stories. And like, I'm a sucker for minor league hockey. So
like, absolutely. If anybody gets a chance, go to a Bears game. It's, the history is there. consistently, if you go, particularly on a Saturday night, you know, you're talking 10,000 fans. Most of the fans really know the game. They're really into it. It's just different, and me, I'm biased. I am biased. I know that. I just think when you talk about minor league sports in general, it doesn't get any better than a night at the Bears game.
Sweet sweater, sweet logo, sweet barn, yes. Like all of it. Like you definitely have like the perfect combination for minor league hockey. Like you don't have to excuse away a logo. Yep. Well, Lisa, before we wrap everything up, I want you to let everyone know how they can find you, and like thank you for coming on here. And if they need some Capitals friends, they can find the three of you.
Oh, there's a few of us out there. There's a few of us. Instagram, Twitter, Capalanche fan.
And both. We'll definitely have this when the episode comes out, we'll have you tagged in the post and everything. So definitely go follow Lisa. She's one of the best. She absolutely is. Honored
and
to
I
call
do need
friend.
Capitals fan. I do need Capitals friends.
Yeah, please. They need Misery Loves Company.
I was just going to say, I need someone who I can wine with, that I can cry with, and that I can drink with, because, you know, Cap's favorite slogan, this team makes me drink. Nova Caps. I have to give a shout out to Nova Caps. They came up with that, and it's absolutely true.
Hopefully, when this new era of Capitals hockey rolls around, it's something you prepare for instead of something you throw together at the last minute. Hopefully there's a little bit of a game plan and a blueprint on how this is going to happen. And maybe this is something that Colorado is showing you how to do and something you can start working on now.
Maybe we could suggest that Brian McClellan take some lessons.
At Capitals. Do you see this?
Yeah, see? This is how you do it. This is how you plan. I'm used to I'm used to it. You're a Caps fan. You suffer. You're used to it. That's why I need Caps, you know, fan friends, because we can suffer together.
And like, I respect like the lovable loser aspect thing. Like we can't get things going. Like that's why I'm a Devils fan. Like I love it. I love it. And like the Capitals, I have no problems with. I have no beef with, no rivalry, no hatred. Like I would love to see them do something.
I would too. Darcy believes they're going to get another cup. So
good luck.
I'm not, you know, maybe, hey, you never know.
Well, I want to thank you. Yeah, please don't. I'd like to thank you again for coming on here in Puckburg. And everybody, absolutely go follow Lisa. And if this is your first time stopping by here in Puckburg, you can follow the show at HPuckburg on Twitter, here_in_Puckburg on Instagram. You can follow the show on YouTube. You can see me in a devil sweater right now. I always have to update for the audio listeners what jersey I'm wearing because it's not Avalanche. So you have to see me as something that's not burgundy and blue. But, yeah, and like, share, subscribe, tell all your friends about these stories. Start at episode 1 and binge them for next Saturday's episode. So, again, Lisa, thank you very, very much for coming on. And
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And for everyone else, we'll see you again next Saturday here in Puckburg.